Ms. Anu Bandyopadhyay has generally collaborated with Sri D.D. Tendulkar in his monumental biography of Mahatma Gandhi in 8 volumes and of Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan. She has also written a small book, Bahurupi Gandhi, in Bengali and English, depicting Gandhiji as a manual laborer. She was associated with Mahatma Gandhi in the later phase of his life when he toured Noakhali in East Bengal and later in Calcutta during 1946 and 47, soon after the outbreak of communal riots in Bengal. Ms. Bandyopadhyay, could you give us the background of your association with Mahatma Gandhi in this tour, and the circumstances leading to your visiting Noakhali in connection with the Gandhi's tour?
As a result of the Direct Action Day observed by the Muslim League in August 1946, the explosion of riots in Calcutta took place. Then, to take revenge of what happened in Calcutta, where mostly Muslims were affected, there was a great outbreak of communal riots, arson, looting, rape, etc. in Noakhali, which now is in East Pakistan. Now then I was working as a teacher in Kasturba camp, a village training center for raw village girls. This training center, situated in an interior Bengal village, intended to give elementary training in social work done in Gandhian land. I did not go to Noakhali just to serve the sufferers. The chance of being near Gandhiji was a big temptation. Also, out of sheer curiosity to experience how it feels to be in a riot-ridden area where people have gone mad, forgot their age-long camaraderie, their tolerably peaceful coexistence for centuries, and reveled in loot, arson, rape and murder, I was drawn to Noakhali. Gandhiji's lifelong dream was to see India as one nation. And naturally he was greatly perturbed by these riots, and he did not go to Noakhali to pass a judgment on anybody, but to wipe the tears of the sufferers and put heart into them. He reached Noakhali in November 1946. I followed in December 1946. I spent more than a couple of months in near vicinity of Gandhiji's presence, about 2-3 miles away from him, at times having the opportunity of discussing problems with him. He then launched his last and yet the most bold experiment of cutting off all old moorings, shun whatever little comforts and security he enjoyed in his ashram, where he was surrounded by seasoned co-workers and helping hands. He began his one village a day tour in a hostile area. His mission was to spread fearlessness, the cardinal message of his life, an offshoot of his effort to make the slave minds free, free from foreign rule, free from the coils of superstitions, free from all fears that emasculate a nation or a person.
Ms. Bandyopadhyay, could you tell us something about Gandhiji's modus operandi in inspiring confidence amongst the Hindu minority community in East Bengal?
Gandhiji did not know their language, so he naturally had to appeal to them through an interpreter. He generally moved from village to village, staying in an unfamiliar hut, whatever was provided for him, sharing their food, of course up to the limit he could do it at that old age of 78. Then having prayer meetings held in some open space, and there the people used to come in small numbers in the beginning, because the Hindus were so much cowed down that they did not even dare to stir out of their homes in the beginning. Then slowly the audience grew in number, and he, after holding his prayers, gave a sort of small, gave a discourse and told them repeatedly, without fail, almost every day, that they first should discard their fear. That was the root cause of all evil in life. And when some people said that what can they do in under such circumstances, they were in a minority, the Muslims were non-cooperating with them, they were not even giving them plows to till the land, what can they do? He said, he brushed aside such complaints, saying that if you are willing to work, you can do with any tool. Without plows, you can start with pickaxe. I myself did it in South Africa, and you will be astonished to know the result we got out of it. So instead of putting blame on somebody else for anything, any disaster that befell them, they should try to stand on their own legs and try to manage their own affairs. That, according to his idea, was real Swaraj, just not to get rid of a foreign yoke.
Thank you. What was the area in which he operated? Were there several villages which he was able to tour?
He toured many villages. I can't give you exactly the number of them, but it must be easily 30 to 40, because his program was one village a day, and he was more than 2 months there, with a break, of course, once.
That was during October, November 1946.
He reached there in November 1946. And it extended up to January 1947. And he first did not ask them to form a party and to face the disaster like that, but just in a very normal way he said that, why don't you come out of your houses, you carry on your own prayers in your own way without being afraid of being molested. And naturally that way it was a very, this appeal was quite,
it went home.
The appeal went home, and they came out in groups slowly with their khol and their kartal, and they went on singing their bhajans and kirtans like that. And that way even the villagers, the women who did not dare to go out to the ponds to draw water, they also slowly came out of their home and forgot that menace was hanging on them.
Ms. Bandyopadhyay, could you tell us something about this, his daily program while he was touring these villages?
Gandhiji generally, even when under great stress of work, did not ever cancel his regular routine of work. So there too, early in the morning, he used to get up at about 3:30, had his prayers, then after resting a little and taking his morning drinks, he used to go out for the next village, which generally he expected to be within 3-4 miles distance. Otherwise it was very difficult for him then to cover more than that distance. And a very curious thing, he discarded his chappals, his slippers, sandals then. He walked barefoot on dew-soaked, cold ground, slippery, and sometimes the hostile element put thorns on his road. But I can never remember he making any adverse remark about the people who were hostile to him. And then after reaching the next village, entering the hut which was meant for his 24-hour stay, it was just provision for a day, sometimes only with cloth around, and he took little rest, did his regular work, took meals, took a siesta for some minutes, but he never missed his massage. And then he got up and gave interviews to groups of people in the afternoon. Then after his spinning was over, he held his evening prayers. That was always in an open space, maybe in a place which was once a public place, a sort of park or near a pond, some open space. And there he always told these people that you should not fly away from this place. This is your place of birth. This is your own land. You should be there under all difficulties. You try to build up your huts. Of course, I will help you through the government. And he never liked any charity to be given to them in the shape of only money or doles, but he always wanted them to work for themselves and earn their own living and also help for building huts which were demolished or burned down. And these prayers were held just before the dusk, because in villages we don't have lights. And then he used to walk back to his place and his feet were washed, and after that, having his spare meals, he used to do some writing work, dictating. And then he generally, in spite of so much work, he used to retire by 9 in the evening.
Ms. Bandyopadhyay, what was your personal impression of the visible impact of Gandhiji's personality and leadership in infusing courage and fearlessness among the Hindus of that riot-torn area? Was this impact only temporary, or did it survive the communal frenzy before and after partition that seized the two communities elsewhere in the country, particularly in the Punjab and Bengal and Bihar?
I must with regret admit that his influence was temporary. He did instill courage, no doubt, but it did not last long. It is amazing how we failed to retain the courage he infected us with. It is equally amazing to know how he could instill fearlessness in cowards who often die before their death. With another coward, I will insight one case, it will be my own case. Now, I was only with another co-worker, billeted in a village, and we were taken sort of a bail, a security. And if any other attack is on them, so that they will have some courage that these are Gandhi's people with us. Now, I myself come from a very orthodox family, and I was not used to traveling in such places. And actually, though I am a Bengali and this is a part of Bengal, this was a part of Bengal rather, the East Bengal language was almost half Greek to me. So this place was quite unfamiliar to me. But even then, I could at that time sleep outside all alone, because others did not want to do it, and I could never sleep in a closed room. Even when murders or rape were going on, say about 400-500 years away from the place I was sleeping. Now, if I am asked to repeat that performance now, I perhaps will fail miserably. And some Bengalis who were terrorists came to Gandhiji and told him that we were the terrorists, but we can't do anything now. Gandhiji abused them, chastised them, saying that it is a shame that you are still alive to report this thing to me. Why these Chittagong Armory raid people could not die in saving their women and their villages instead of waiting to complain to me? So this is the way he could instill courage, not only by slapping them, not only by rousing them from giving some abusive talks, but also by telling them that why should one have so much love for life as to just to live, they will sacrifice everything else, their material possessions, honor of their women, and anything else which they hold dear in their life. Their religion, some people were easily converted. And when they said that we had no other way, otherwise we would have been killed, he said, why did you not die? Why should you cling to life at any cost? And that, I think, impressed people. Sometimes they were, of course, they reacted differently. But this sort of thing, which is also a very common idea, Gita ideal, that why should we be so much attached to this life that we should allow everything else to throw in the winds in concern only for to live, just to breathe, just to exist. But that thing was not durable. It did not last long, that I must admit.